We're still in the promises. This is Isaiah 49, the first reading. In the time of favor, I answer you. On the day of salvation, I help you. And I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people. Now, he's speaking here to his servant. This mysterious figure, the servant, who turns out to be Jesus. You are a covenant to restore the land, allot the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out. All the things that are twisted and wrong and dark and cause sufferings, you see. To those in darkness, show yourselves. Along the ways they shall find pastures, on every bare height shall their pastures be. And now this is the promise that they're going to return to their own land. They're going to walk from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And the Lord says, I'll level out all the rough spots. I will, you know, I'll make it easy for you to come back. And that's the, so you can see, as we move through Lent, you see we're now trying to understand God saying, whatever you've done to your life to think it's ruined, come to me, I can fix it. There's nothing that need hold you back, change you. You can just come to me. Whatever it is, I'll fix it. Because I want you to belong completely to me and rejoice in it and be a witness to others, you see. So now they'll find pasture. They'll neither hunger nor thirst, nor shall the scorching wind or the sun strike them. Now this is the walk back from Babylon to Jerusalem, you see. I will cut a road through all my mountains and make my highways level. See, some shall come from afar, others from the north and the west, and some from the land of Sion. Sing out, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into song, you mountains. Why? Because the Lord comforts his people and shows mercy to the afflicted. And that work of God to us brings spring. The universe is changed when God dwells with us. And we want everybody to have God dwelling with them. That's why we preach. That's why we have this, just finished this proclamation of the gospel, this course here, so that people could know who God is and love him and trust him. And then we're still in this famous chapter 5. This is a long discussion where Jesus expounds for people who he is. You remember the story, right? This is Bethesda. No, this is Gaithersburg, but I mean, this is the story, is Bethesda. He healed that man who was waiting for the waters to stir, but it was Shabbat. And the Pharisees, who are always looking for something to get at him, you broke Shabbat. And he said, you know, his answer is, I do whatever the Father tells me. And you do well to do the same. And so we have this text. All of these, you see, we're in the fourth week now. We've only got 2 more weeks to go. So how do we enter deeply into the mystery of the passion and resurrection of Jesus Christ and have it change our lives? That's what these texts are for, you see. So this text is how to raise our minds, purify our imagination, to understand that the Son is totally equal to the Father, and is incarnate. He's a human being too. He became that. He was conceived in the womb of Mary, a virgin, and she gave birth to him. And now, some 30-odd years later, he's proclaiming to the world who he is and who the Father is and what the plan is for salvation. You see? My Father is at work, because they're saying, you see, you broke Shabbat by healing that man. And he says, he has lots of answers to try to help them. He says, now, on Shabbat, you have an ox or an ass who needs to be brought to water. You untie that animal. You lead it to water and bring it back. And you don't think you're breaking Shabbat. So if I untie this woman who's been bound by Satan for 34 years so that she can stand up straight and walk, what's wrong with that? He's trying to help them and us, you see. My Father is at work until now, so I am at work. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God, which is exactly what he's doing. Why? Because he is. And these texts are for us, my friends. You see, this is the part of Lent where we have revelation and a lot about the Trinitarian life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. He's trying to bring us into the family of the Trinity. He's God, but he's God as Son. So he's captivated by the Father. You see? And the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Why? Because that's love. This is a treatise on the Trinity, you see. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. As far as saving the whole world from its darkness and raising me from the dead, that's what the Father's going to show. And so, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone. He has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Do you see how the church is trying to introduce us? Who is that on the cross? God. The eternal Son of God. That's who it is. That's ridiculous. That's impossible. That's an exaggeration. Even in heaven, we won't get how big an exaggeration that is. That God would come among us, talk to us, help us, heal us. That's wonderful. But that he'd go further and take our sins on himself and die this death. You know, the Latins, the Romans call this amoris crudelissima, a most cruel death, crucifixion. And he does it for us. You see? And so whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. That's for the catechumens. It's for us too. But I mean, like, hear that? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you know that he's equal to the Father? Have you committed your life to him? Then you have eternal life.